You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And today we're continuing our series, Reigning in Life as Kings. I'm going to say some things in this sermon that may be revolutionary to some of you, but it's going to be right out of the Word of God, and I'm praying that God will give us an impartation. But look at Romans 5:17. This is our basic text we've been using for this series of messages. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." And we've been singing about the cross today, but think back when the first man, Adam, sinned, death came and death reigned upon all men. But when the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gave his life at Calvary as our sin substitute, he opened up the dispensation of grace. I love that. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, "Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." And that's God's dream for you, not to be slaves, not to be servants, not to be dominated, but God's dream for you is that you master all of life. That's why Jesus came. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And there are seven keys that I'm preaching on which will help you to reign in life as kings. Look at number one. We've already preached a sermon on the first four of these. Know the integrity of the Word of God. Then you've got to know the reality of redemption. Then you've got to know the reality of being a new creation in Christ. And then you must know that you're the righteousness of God. And if you're righteous, that means, hallelujah, we live right. We have a right standing with the Father. Number five, know the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Number six, know the reality of fellowship. And the seventh and final key I'm going to preach on is you must know the authority of the name of Jesus. My subject, seven keys to reigning in life as kings. This is part five. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, how you have graced this place with your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that today you're going to make an impartation. Lord, as the word of God is preached, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, Lord, the words that I speak, let them be acceptable in your sight. Let them find lodging in our hearts. Thank you for the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let me preach your gospel with his anointing. Give us that listening ear. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Key number five, know the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to look at three aspects of the Spirit today. The witness the Spirit brings, the worship the Spirit brings, and the power the Spirit brings. First of all, the witness the Spirit brings. Now, when you got saved, you got the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. I was taught as a little boy in my denomination that everybody didn't have the Holy Ghost that was saved. But I want to tell you something on the authority of God's Word. If you've ever been born again, you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself, himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you were born again, there was a little voice inside of you that said, "You are saved. You are a child of God." And that little inward voice, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit began to lead, to guide, and to direct your life. Every born-again believer has the witness of the Holy Spirit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, and in me they will live and have their being." God said, "I'll be their God, they shall be my people." So you are a new creation in Christ, and now God dwells in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, too many people think that the church building is the temple of God, but it's not. His people are his temple. And the only reason that God shows up in this place is because we showed up. And when we show up, he shows up. Hallelujah. He'll meet you anywhere. That's why Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And the only way that Jesus can ever be in the midst of us, that's inside of us, is through the Holy Spirit, who applies the blood of Jesus to our heart, who convicts us, calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light, and we're born again. Let me just give you some scripture. Acts 7:48. The Bible says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things?" Isn't that beautiful? God is saying, I don't dwell in temples made with hand. I dwell in temples that I created. And you are a new creation in Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have his blood. You have his nature. You have his spirit. You have his life. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. The greater one lives in you, and in him we live, we move, and we have our being. We are who God said we are. We can do what God said we can do. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Hallelujah. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about redemptive revelation that you must receive so you can master all of life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So when you got saved, you got the witness of the Spirit, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Look at Romans 1:16. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That word power there is dunamis, which means God's miracle, miraculous working power. And every human being on planet Earth has the same basic need. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said you must be born again. And the gospel is the good news for anyone who is in a condition where they're lost in sin and transgression. Because the gospel does not just tell people about the power of God, but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when you believe the gospel, God imparts new life, dunamis, God's miraculous power to save a dead sinner from their sins. That's what happened. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to where Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb, and he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." The people thought, is he crazy? But when the dunamis, miracle-working power of God was imparted to a dead man, he lived again. And that's exactly what the gospel is like. God is a good God. And the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together," or made us alive together with Christ. "For by grace are you saved." Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hallelujah. Thank God I don't have to work my way into this thing. I just work for him because I love him because of what he did for me. Oh, if you ever just get that revelation. You know, the most miserable person in the world is the person who is trying to work himself into heaven. He's going here and going there and doing this and doing that. But you can never work your way into heaven. Salvation is a free gift from God. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he imparts his gift of righteousness to you. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. I know that I know, and I'm sure that I'm sure, because I remember the moment that nail-scarred hand touched me and I came out of darkness into the marvelous light. I tell you, he walked around some good people to get to me. He walked around some people with a PhD. He walked around some lawyers, some fine people in the community, and he reached way down in the cesspools of sin and iniquity, and he said, "I choose you," and love lifted me. Hallelujah. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. And if you're born again, glory to God, that same quickening power of the Holy Ghost lifted you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody, go on, praise Him for this great salvation. I tell you, the church ought to be a happy people. They ought to be a shouting people. They ought to be a rejoicing people. They ought to be a dancing people. Because the miracle, miraculous working power of God touched you, and God snatched you out of darkness, put your feet on the solid rock, and established your going in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you get saved, you get the witness of the Spirit, and you know that you're saved. And that's all some churches ever preach, but there's so much more. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's more. There's more." And if you're going to rule and reign and master all of life, you're going to have to have more, which brings me to my second point, the worship the Spirit brings. See, the Spirit helps us worship. Too many denominations, they teach that certain things are not for the day and that those things have passed away. Religion teaches that. Tradition teaches that. Some churches teach that, but that is not what the Bible, the Word of God, teaches. You see, the early church was born in the fire of Pentecost. And that church is a picture of what the church of every generation should look like. The church started in the book of Acts as a mighty river flowing out to a sin-cursed world. And it flowed out to the world bringing life and healing and miracle-working power. Wherever that river flowed into the depths of heathenism. And it flowed into the area of dead religion, and it brought life. But down through the centuries, every denomination has sat down by the river, and they've all put in their little doctrine. And you know, I look at sinners, and I feel so sorry for the sinners when they look at the church world, because there are so many ideas and so many opinions about everything. But I know one thing. We've got to go back. We've got to get back to the book of Acts. We got to get back to find out what the church looked like in its earliest stage. We got to go back beyond the Baptists, back beyond the Methodists, back beyond the Catholics, back beyond every denomination, and we've got to look at what did the church look like when the church was born in the fire of God, and the people came out of that little upper room drunk on the Holy Ghost and signs and wonders and miracles following them, and they turned their world upside down because they had been empowered with power from on high. Somebody praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost into the world so the Holy Ghost could do something for Christians. And every Christian that's born again by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, every child of God has the witness of the Spirit in regeneration. But there's more. That's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I told you I'm going to talk on some radical things. Acts 2 and 1 tells us about it. It says, but when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, oh, God spoke to me at the first of the year. He said, if you can just get people together in one place, get them together in unity. He said, I'll give you some suddenness. Do you know that the Bible says at the place of unity, God commands the blessing? God said, get them together and I will do some miraculous thing. It says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They weren't kneeling. They weren't standing, they were sitting. That was the posture of prayer. Hallelujah. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. God has a fire for every head. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And look at that. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, Pastor Nelson, that's not for me, and my denomination does not teach that. But you know, every person who says that, they feel a lack of power in their life. They feel that lack of power. But Jesus wants us and wants you and me to have the power. And the initial evidence that comes is that you will speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost baptizes you. Well, actually, Jesus baptizes you in the Spirit. John Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he is coming after me. He's mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thank God there's some fire in this thing. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he gives you power to worship. He gives you a witness, you're a child of God, but he gives you power to worship. Now, I want to look at what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. This is going to help some of you. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this has to do with worship. And do you know one thing that people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit cannot do? They cannot worship God in spirit. Because when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you begin to speak in the Spirit. You begin to speak in other tongues. And that's a form of worship. Amen. You see, God is not a mind. God is a spirit. And you are a spirit. You are a spirit that lives in a body. And God knows that without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the only thing we can do is talk to him out of our brain, out of our mind. And whatever our mind thinks, we say that to God, and we are praying from our intellect. Amen. But you see, God made it possible for you to talk to him in the Spirit. Let me give you some scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. I'm going slow with this. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. He speaketh not unto man, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. When I speak in tongues, that's my prayer language. That's my praise language. Unless that there's an interpretation, you know. It's all right to praise God and be free in the Holy Ghost. Don't take over the service, but hallelujah. You can talk in tongues and pray in tongues. And when you do that, you are praying the Spirit of God, not to man, but you are talking not to man, but you're talking to God in the Spirit. Do you see that? For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketth mysteries. Now let's go over to Romans 8:26, because the Lord dropped both of these on me at one time and gave me some revelation. Let me help you, and let me help my own self. Hallelujah. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth thy infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And look at this. And he that searcheth the heart. Oh, here's why you need the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Look at this. According to the will of God. See, when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. And God has made it possible for every one of us to talk to him in the Spirit. You know, when Peter was preaching, he said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the gift is for you, to your children, to as many as are far off. So it's for every generation, for every people of every generation. And let me tell you something. If you want God's power to worship him and God's power to minister, you need to seek the fullness of the Spirit of the living God. Now, who could ever tell God how much they love him? We tried that this morning. We've been singing. We've been praising God. And we've just done the best we could. But who could ever tell God just how much you love them? See, your spirit man can feel such emotions and such love for God that you could never express it. I cannot find words to express to God how much I love him. It's like when you lose a loved one. You feel such emotions for them. And anybody ever lost a loved one? I have. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Mother. I miss you so much. Oh. You'll never know how much I love you. You'll never know how much I miss you. And you just moan and you groan. And finally, you just run out of words. You don't have any other way. And you begin to cry out. Oh, I just love you. I miss you so much. I wish you were still here, but you're in heaven. And I just thank God for that. But, you know, you're just groaning. Have you ever been there? I have. Amen. You're just so burdened down, and sometimes you feel that way about a sinner. Sometimes you feel like that way about something that's going on in your life, and your spirit just begins to cry out. Well, what is that? That's your feelings. That's your emotions. And you have no amount of words that could ever explain that. And that's the way it is when it comes to talking to God. Think of the emotions you get in your spirit when you start to talk about how you were when you were lost and how undone you were without God. And you were on your way to a devil's cell. You were lost without Jesus. You were doomed and you were damned for an eternity forever and ever. And then God came in his mercy to you and he revealed himself to you. He touched you with his spirit and you came out of darkness into the marvelous light and you were saved. Hallelujah. And now you're going to heaven and you know that you know and you're sure that you're sure. I have never wondered whether or not I'm born again. I know. Hallelujah. How many know you've been born again? Glory to God. Who could ever find the words to tell God just how much you love them? Nobody can. You can't tell God how much you appreciate that with your brain. You just go around and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I'm glad to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Lord, I'll work for you forever. I'll serve you forever. But after a while, you just run out of words. You run out of English. You run out of language. And that's why you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because when you can't find any language, when you've got the baptism, you just go from, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, hallelujah, I love you, Lord, I praise you, Lord. I think we ought to stand, take a praise break. If you feel with the Spirit, go on, praise him in the Holy Ghost. Let the river flow. The same Spirit that blesses the saint is the same Spirit that convicts the sinner. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory unto Remo Shanda. Glory to God. See, you don't have enough language to describe what I just did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go on, praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody could ever explain to God just how much they love him out of their brain. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost, so you could worship him in spirit. So when your vocabulary runs out, hallelujah, you're free to praise God in the power of the Spirit. And Jesus, by the way, sent the Holy Ghost to the church. If you want to blame anybody for tongues, and a lot of church, they think we're crazy. No, I didn't lose my mind. I just got over into the Spirit. But if you want to blame anybody for tongues, blame Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church. And he told them, he said, I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And they met in that little upper room. And suddenly, after 10 days, the power of God hit that place. They came out of there filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in languages, known languages and unknown languages. See, it's not just the known language, it's an unknown language too. And that's how you praise God. And then to couple with that gift, he gives us the gift of interpretation. Don't get hung up on what dead religion talks to you about. Believe what the Bible says. Because Jesus, the head of the church, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be filled with his Spirit so we can worship God in spirit and in truth. So the Spirit gives us witness that we're saved, and the Spirit helps us to worship God in spirit and in truth. But there's another reason that you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. You need the dunamis miracle working power of God. Now, when you got saved, it was the dunamis power of God, the miraculous working power of God that saved you. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get the fullness of the Spirit, and God places inside of you through the Holy Ghost that dunamis, miracle, working power. And when you realize that Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, you know that you need power. You need power if you're going to have signs following you. And one of the signs that follows those who believe is they will speak in tongues. Jesus said that you will speak in tongues when he gave the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16. And Jesus commanded us to cast out devils. He commanded us to lay hands on the sick. And he said, if you do, they will recover. He commanded us to get out into the midst of suffering, dying, crying, broken, fragmented humanity. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost in order to set the captive free. Amen. Glory to God. Someone asked me recently, why don't signs and wonders follow all believers? And I told him signs and wonders follow those who believe that signs and wonders will follow them. Why doesn't the signs follow everybody? It follows those who believe they can do what God said they can do. Amen. And, you know, you cannot have faith, let me tell you, for miracle working power of God. You cannot have the faith for it unless you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. When he comes, he brings supernatural gifts. And he brings the miracle-working healing power of God unto you. He brings supernatural faith that will help you to believe so that signs and wonders will follow you. I don't have time to go into the nine gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost. But when he comes, he gives you revelational gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. You can discern the spirit. Amen. You can discern the spirit that a person is operating in when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Then he gives you power gifts, gifts of healing, miracle working power, and faith. And then he gives you gifts of inspiration, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Hallelujah. All of these gifts, they flow together and they are manifested as the Holy Ghost wills those gifts to operate. But hallelujah. We need the fullness of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost brings supernatural faith. And he helps you to believe so that signs and wonders can follow you. Now, Jesus operated in the power of the Spirit, and we need that same Spirit. Acts 10:38. Put Acts 10:38 up there, brother. It's not in the outline. It says, how God, that's the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's the Son, with the Holy Ghost and power, that's the Spirit. So that's the Trinity right there. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then Jesus sends the Holy Ghost to the church. He said, I want you to do what I did. I want you to do the same works I did, and I want you to do greater works. The Holy Ghost is not just sent so you can shake. He's not just sent so you can shout. He's not just sent so you can speak in tongues. He comes, praise God, on a mission. And let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is not a playboy. He's a worker. And when he shows up to work. He shows up to change hearts. He shows up to change lives. And we need to let the river flow. And if I can get my little plank out there, and I can get your plank to flow, and pretty soon, praise God, we'll have the river of the Holy Ghost flowing in our midst. Somebody go and praise God for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power, hallelujah, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Glory to God. Now, Jesus, he operated in the power of the Spirit. And he wants us to have that same power. Now, let's go back and look at Luke 4:18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He announced his mission. They went, who does this man think he is? This is just a hometown boy. Why, we know his mother. We know his brothers and sisters. Who does he think he is? He picked up the scroll of Isaiah in the temple in his own hometown, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. And every eye turned toward him. Amen. See, does God want you? Does God want me anointed and baptized in the Holy Ghost? Sure he does. Look at Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus wants his Spirit upon us He wants it in us, and he wants him working through us so that we can do the same things that Jesus did. And he just does not, he doesn't want just the preacher to have that gift either. He wants every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so they can do what? What about those that are demon possessed? What about those who are bruised and broken? What about fragmented lives and people whose homes are being torn about? What about those who need a miracle? Does anybody care for suffering humanity to the point that they want God's miraculous miracle working power flowing out of them to set the captive free? See, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is not just so you can worship, but it is also to give you a ministry. Amen. And I'm so glad that God has raised up believers here at Westmoreland that have signs and wonders following. I look out among the people and I look over the congregation and I see people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. I see people that have God's miracle working power. I see people that are filled with the Holy Ghost that have cast out devils. They've laid hands on the sick. They've watched them recover. Hallelujah. And that same Holy Ghost, he comes on everybody for ministry. And I'm telling you, folks, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you are not going to cast out any devils. Without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you are not going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. They might get healed by their own faith. They might get healed taking Holy Communion. They might get healed, you know, by your faith. But, you know, if you're going to operate like Jesus, you're going to have the power of the Holy Ghost, because when he shows up, he brings gifts. Hallelujah. My mother, I remember when I was a little boy, she would tell people, come on, go to church with us. Come on, go to church. And back then, they're like, just like they are now. No, I don't want to go to church. Oh, come on, go to church. No, I don't want to go to church. Come on, go to church with us. The Holy Ghost is going to be there. And he's like a big surprise package. You don't know what he's going to do next. And you know, my mother was not a Greek student. She didn't know the Greek, but that's exactly what it means. The supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what it is, the gifts of the Spirit. They are God's supernatural surprises. And he sent them to the church. And he sent them for a reason. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, we can have what God said we can have. But you're not going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. You won't be operating in gifts. Brother Philip, come here, Brother Philip. Brother Philip was there. Let me see what time I got. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Philip was down there at Falcon, and they had one man that could fix that drag line. He got up. He had gout in his foot. And, you know, what did y'all do, brother?
Well, Brother Warren Downing, myself, and another guy, we got him out of the tent. 6:30 on Sunday morning to get the line down to the zip line. And he said, I can't get my boot on. My foot is swollen so big it won't go in the boot. And we finally loosened it and got it on him, and he was in great pain. We walked out of the tent, laid hands on him, prayed for him, and I said, did you feel that? He said, yeah, I felt that. And he stomped his foot down, and it popped like popcorn. And he took off running across the grounds. I said, don't you want to ride? He said, no, brother, I feel too good for that. I want to run.
Hey, run on, brother.
And he testified about 4 years later at a council fire. He is still delivered, has had no gout since.
Run on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you can't lay hands on the sick and see them recover unless you have the Holy Ghost. You just stay in a dead church, and you just barely get along. And I meet people like that all the time. But thank God it doesn't have to be that way. Look at my text once again, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Look at that. Much more They which receive abundance of grace. What is abundance of grace? The Bible said, of his fullness have you received, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It's in the continual motion. You get salvation. You get sanctification. You get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You get signs and wonders and miracles following you. You get ministry. Hallelujah. You get the gifts of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. You get grace upon grace upon grace. And that's what God wants for every believer. The abundance of grace. And if you're going to rule and reign in life through Christ Jesus, you can only do that as you follow Jesus. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost that he sent to his church. And this thing is supposed to begin in our families. Let me just get down to where we all live, because I have raised three children, and not one of them just followed my instructions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. So what are you going to do with a child that's on drugs? What are you going to do with the child that has an unclean spirit? What are you going to do with that wife that's in rebellion? What are you going to do with that husband that's lost his mind? I tell you, you don't have to depend on what man can do only. You can depend on what the Holy Ghost can do. And when you get the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. You can invade the devil's territory and you can set the captive free. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I tell you, my children, that every one of them, they gave me a fit. But I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I told the devil, you're not having my children. I told him he tried to take my home. I said, you're not having my home. Matter of fact, you're not taking my finances. Tried to take that. Tried to take my health. They cut me from here to here. Half what the doctors did it fail? But God, who is rich in mercy, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, reached down that nail-scarred hand. He bypassed my heart the last time. I have collateral arteries, two of them, and my blood flow is excellent. Glory to God. And I got power, and I got strength, and I got anointing. And God has saved every one of my children, and God has blessed every one of them. And God just keeps on blessing. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to invade the devil's territory, set the captive free, and establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you shall receive power. Look at Acts 1 and 8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you know that that word power, that also is the power, the word called dunamis, God's miraculous, miracle-working power. Now, the little woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I shall be made whole. And when she touched him, Jesus said, I felt virtue. I felt power flow out of me. And Jesus said, who touched me? They said, everybody's touching you, Jesus. What do you mean, who touched me? He said, that was a different touch. When that person touched me, I was touched with some faith. And I felt power. I felt virtue flow out of me. And that little woman was instantly made whole. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? And that same power that flowed out of Jesus, that same power is what Jesus wants us to have. Demons trembled in the presence of Jesus. The lame walked. The deaf heard. The blind received their sight. And he performed all kind of miracles because of the dunamis, Holy Ghost power that was working in him. And you get the same dunamis, Holy Ghost power when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You get that same power. Now, I've had people criticize me, and I just decided they can criticize me all they want to. But I've got the same dunamis power in me. And I cannot tell you how many miracles I have seen Jesus perform. Many of you have watched them right here in this church. Many of you are recipients of those miracles. I tell people, I said, if you're sick, just come out here and sit in the church. Just come out here and get your eyes on Jesus. That's power flowing in this place. That's the miracle working power of God. And I've had a lot of people criticize me, and they can do that if they want to. But thank God, I've seen God do some great miracles. People say, if you have all that power, Can you heal everybody that you pray for? No, I can't. And neither could Jesus. He could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Unbelief will kill you. I rebuke the spirit of unbelief. I just decided I'll feed my faith and starve my doubts to death in Jesus' name. I'll feed my faith the word of God. Hallelujah. I'll meditate on it. And I'll say it. And I'll proclaim it. And I'll shout it. Hallelujah. Not in a corner somewhere, but from the rooftop, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Some people want to relegate the Holy Ghost to the back room and say, we've got the power of the Spirit in this place. No, they don't. Praise God. You don't relegate him to the back room. You put him out on display so he can do his work, so he can move, so he can empower, so he can anoint, so he can set the captive free. Hallelujah. Somebody gonna praise God. Tell you one thing, I've felt that power flow out of me so many times, and I've seen people heal instantly. I've seen the lame get up and walk. I've seen broken bones mended instantly. Some of you were sitting here when a lady about midway back there just walked back and touched it. Three bones broken in her shoulder. Man told me the other day, he said, I was sitting behind her. I heard it pop. He said, and she said, I'm healed. She was healed. Three broken bones healed instantly. I've seen cancer healed in the name of Jesus. I've seen ulcers disappear. I've seen the miracle working power of God time and time again. And church, I want to tell you, that power is available today. And I'll tell you something else. If you have a hungry heart and if you will seek God, he will fill you with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And when he does, you will begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And you'll have a ministry to help the suffering, the dying, the crying, broken, fragmented humanity. You'll have dunamis, the power of the Holy Ghost, to set the captive free. And church, once you get that, you'll be able to rule and reign and master all of life in Christ Jesus. I could never tell you what the baptism in the Holy Ghost has been in my life. And I have people stop me all over, and I'm so humbled by it. And they say, will you pray for me? I know you're a man of God. I know there's power working in you and through you. Will you pray for me? And God's dream for his church is that everyone in the church of every denomination. You don't have to come join our church. If you want to, praise God, we'll let you join if you're born again. Amen. You don't have to. We've had people come in here. Sister Clara's brought them back to my office, laid hands on them. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We had a choir in here singing recently, and I laid hands on nine that I know of that were instantly filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. They came here wanting something, and they got it. Let us stand. And if you will be filled with the Spirit, you will be able to rule and reign and master all of life in Jesus' mighty name.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
I want my prayer team to come down first, please.
What our hearts
prayer team, come on down.
To be,
we got some of them that are out right today, but some of you women, come on down. You're on the prayer team. Come on. Glory to God. Turn around and face the people. Hallelujah.
Your praise.
Glory to God.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Brother Billy, move on down a little bit. Y'all move down to the left. Stop right
there. Come flood this place and feel the atmosphere.